us that we can know and stand upon. Regardless of what we may feel, we can know what the Lord said. Amen. And stand upon it. His word sure and certain and firm. Okay, brethren, tonight, Psalm 23. And looking forward to this. You know, it's there's a lot of folks that don't know anything about the Bible or are familiar with the Bible at all, yet are familiar with Psalm 23. It's kind of like John 3:16. It's one of those things in the Bible that people hear about and know about. I remember for first or second grade, it's one of the things we had to memorize for the school program we had, Psalm 23. And it's called the Shepherd Psalm because that's what it's about. It is a Shepherd Psalm. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful. The truths and the tenderness and just the relationship it gives us of the shepherd and the sheep. And appropriately so from David, because David was a shepherd. And David loved those sheep. So Psalm 23, all right? Bible says, starting out, Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us. We pray, Father, in the Lord Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. You know, I was wondering, I always go into, the Psalms, wondering, how many verses we'll cover in one setting. I just kind of get down to study and ask the Lord to guide me, to direct me, to give me what's needed. And I take it from there. And, I kind of at least figure a lot of times we'll at least cover one verse. Usually figure at least that. Sometimes more. But it's funny, in getting this together, it just felt like the Lord wouldn't have me go any further than just that first introductory part of the verse, where David says, the Lord is my shepherd. You see, David fully understands what that means. He was a shepherd. So he understands. David fully, completely, totally understands what it means to have a shepherd. And when David says, the Lord is my shepherd, he knows exactly what he's talking about. He knows what that's implies. He knows what he's talking about, what that means when he says that. It's no light statement. David was a shepherd. David was willing to put his life on the line for those sheep and those lambs. So David knows what it means to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, what are the duties of a shepherd? Wow. I mean, we'll just kind of give some things tonight, generally speaking, and look at a number of verses concerning this, but what are the duties of the shepherd? Well, the shepherd's duties are to feed, to water, to shelter, to defend, to heal, to guide, comfort, and inspect the sheep. They're helpless. All through history, sheep have always been known to be an animal that are totally dependent upon a shepherd. Sheep have been known to die of thirst when other animals would have found water. There's a guy named Jeffrey Bowen. He was a master shepherd in New Zealand. He was like a shepherd of shepherds, right? And he was Christian. He was saved. And he wrote a book one time called Why the Shepherd. And he discussed that. Because he said sheep, and he made that point, that sheep have been known to die in the presence of water. They just give up. They just give up. Sheep tend to just give up. Sound familiar? You know, it's funny, when we're lost, we're independent. You know what I'm saying? We're ready to, we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll do it. Man, you come on to God's sheep. And you realize then you're up against a different thing now. When you're, see, too many in churches, and I'll get to this in a little bit, are goats. They're strong-willed, self-willed, I can do it. That's a goat. But one of God's sheep realizes, I can't do it. I need a shepherd. A sheep realizes, needs a shepherd. Seriously. We don't like that. We don't like that. And you'll see what we're getting out here in just a minute. You'll see. All right. But sheep, other animals will sense water. Sheep don't. They don't. They'll die around water. You can scare a sheep to death. There have been flocks where a wolf or a catamount, you know, a puma, a mountain lion, will harry the flock all night long and just unnerve them, about scare them to death. It's been documented, you know, where they'll just take and sheep are followers, as we'll get in a little bit. There in Turkey, about 15 years ago, it was an unbelievable number of sheep followed another sheep, boom, 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 over a cliff, killed everyone. You know what? I met a shepherd from Australia, a guy that had dealt with sheep from Australia. And I just asked him, I said, well, I've heard that sheep are kind of not very, oh, stupid, mate, stupid. That's exactly how they put it. Oh, stupid, mate, stupid. And he said, they just, you know, and said, they just, y'all time having to get out of trouble, y'all time having to get them out of, you know, and they just, amen, sheep are just, they've got to have a shepherd. Because they are just about defenseless. I mean, the rams, you know, have horns, but mainly they're used, you know, against other rams, you know. I went one time and I used a sheep to illustrate something one time. And it blew my mind how that sheep just literally laid down and rolled its neck back. I had heard about it. I had heard that men who kill sheep for a living, I had heard it said how they'll just roll back. And they, sure enough. I thought I'd killed the sheep. I thought I'd frightened it to death. It just rolled its neck back. Just rolled its neck and just got quiet. It literally laid down its life. And you know, Jesus laid down his life for us. He literally laid it down. Nobody took it. And, you know, I've heard that in these slaughterhouses like in Chicago, men that could slaughter bulls, men that could slaughter oxen, men that could slaughter goats, some of them could not do sheep. Couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. When it came time to it, they could do other animals, but sheep were different. There's just something about them. There's something about that's not true in every case, but I'm just saying there is something unique about the humility and the meekness of sheep, and of a lamb. So our Savior was the Lamb of God. All right. So they got to have a shepherd. The duties of the shepherd: to feed, to water, to shelter, to defend, to heal, to guide, to comfort, to inspect. And I will go over probably some of these more as we delve into things, but like to inspect. They say, the sheepfold. They would make it of briars a lot of times, get a lot of branches and briars and make a half, like a semicircle enclosure. Because when Jesus said, I'm the door of the sheep, you might say, how can a man be a door? Shepherd was the door. He would lay down in front of the opening. The shepherd became the door. He would lay in front of the opening so that nothing was going out and nothing was coming in, lest it got by him. Jesus said, I'm the door of the sheep. How can a man be a door? A shepherd easily was a door. He laid down in that semicircular opening that they would make, the sheep coat, the sheepfold. A lot of times, if it was pre-prepared already, they'd used it before. It would be made of rocks piled up, maybe of wood, maybe of briars and brambles. And it would have that narrow opening. He would lay down, and anything coming in or going out had to go by him. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the door. Okay, I mean, it's all, the imagery is just wonderfully there. Okay? And so, and before the sheep come into the sheep coat, he would take his rod. Now, the rod's used a lot, and we'll get into the uses of the rod later on, but I meant to inspect, because you would take each sheep, and he would part the wool, and he'd look at their eyes, and he'd look and see if there was any problem. And if there was, he would separate it to treat it so it didn't affect the others. And then he would give any treatment he had. Maybe he would apply oil that he kept in his bag. Maybe he would apply other medicines that he kept with him. And he would separate it and he would take that time with it. And that relationship with shepherds and sheep is so beautiful and wonderful. I've read of other sheepmen. Some of the Basque shepherds of Spain understood Psalm 23 and it was dear to them because they knew that closeness between the shepherd and the sheep. There's a closeness that's supposed to be there. You know, for me personally, this thing speaks a lot. It's convictingly, it speaks a lot because that's what pastor means, a shepherd. Christ is the great shepherd of the fold. Pastor's just an under-shepherd, all right? And I want to tell you something. We have too many men today that want to be preachers, but not shepherds. I'm going to show you, pulpit time is only one aspect of pastoring, of shepherding. Only one. It's only one aspect. Only one. And listen, it's not the most. There's a whole other things that make it up. But see what's happened today, because everything is so about the pulpit time, the putting oneself forward. That's looked at as the be all and end all. That's what it's supposed to be. No, sir. That's only one aspect. But we'll take our time and look at it here just a minute. Go to Jeremiah 23. Let's see what the Bible says about the different duties. Go to Jeremiah 23. Guys, you know it's happens, it's true. What happens is it becomes a thing of the pulpit becomes everything, so much so that it is used as simply a springboard to get meetings all over the place. And it's looked at as to what often a pastor will use his church as just the support so he can go out and about. That's not pastoring. Say what you want. I'm not saying I got it down. I got it. I'm saying pray for me. I want to be like it ought to be. But I'm telling you, that's what we've got a lot today. That's not what it's supposed to be about. Proverbs 23, look at verse 4. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. Now again, we want to look at this. Now this speaks convictingly to me as a pastor. But again, we're seeing this as the Lord, as our shepherd. Just the duties of a shepherd. Well, he feeds them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. A shepherd is supposed to keep the sheep from being afraid. They're supposed to take, and his presence is supposed to have a calming influence upon them. When he comes near, they're supposed to calm down because they know their vulnerability. They know there are things out there that are trying to destroy them. They're trying to get to them. And when the shepherd comes around, that calms. They shouldn't be afraid. Look, nor be dismayed. Brethren, it's one thing if we come to church and get Holy Ghost conviction that knocks us between the eyes. That's fine. But brethren, outside of that, we shouldn't come to church leaving dismayed. We should, by the grace of God, get something that encourages us to go on and keep going on and not quit. Brethren, how mean of a fellow is a fellow who can beat up a bunch of sheep? I don't think that's a lot to swagger about. How tough are you for beating up a bunch of sheep? Brother, I don't mind authoritative preaching. There should be, because we have the authority of the Word of God. But to go and swagger about because you beat up a bunch of sheep, I don't get that. I don't know how you can take glory. I don't know how you can glory in that. Okay, bud, go do that a bunch of wolves. You're tough? Go out there and take a bunch of wolves and see what happens. No, sir. Look, brethren, shepherd, he watches over them, feeds them, so that we're not, and keeps fear down, so they're not dismayed, neither shall they be lacking. Brethren, how can a flock not be lacking unless the shepherd knows their needs? And how can a shepherd know their needs if he only comes around on Sundays or something to preach? Right. Now, seriously. Brethren, I understand there have been times that, look here. I know Brother Neil's asked us to come over there, and he's out of our church. I felt like it was the right kind of thing. It was rough. I miss being here. We all so bad as I couldn't already stand at times because I know this is what I'm supposed to do. All right? And I'll try to be careful when I say, but I'm just saying, now, wait a minute now. If that flock's not supposed to be lacking, that means you got to know what they need. How can you know what somebody needs if you're not around? That's true. And brethren, I'm telling you. This is about the Lord as my shepherd. But as I read the duties of the shepherd, brethren, man, that smacks me between the eyes. I covet your prayers. I want to be what I'm supposed to be before God, to look after God's flock. God's flock. Now, you make sure you are one of God's flock. Amen. I'll touch on this in just a little bit. Make sure you ain't a dog, you ain't a hog, and you ain't a goat. And we'll get in that in a little bit. But make sure you're one of God's flock. If you're one of God's flock, I'm supposed to look after God's flock. It's his flock. And I covet your prayers. Go to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. I don't know how things go on out there today, because I just, brethren, I just don't get around. I try to keep my nose into where I'm supposed to be. I don't get around a bunch of meetings. I don't go to this and that and the other, so I don't know what goes on out there. But I do know there have been times that there's been this thing of where the man of God is almost to be worshipped and served. You know what the Lord got on the shepherds about? He said, you're abusing the flock, man. You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill them that are fed. You're killing them. But you feed not the flock. Man, brethren, I can see parallels. I can see parallels that happen today. Look at verse number 4. The diseased have you not strengthened. Brethren, sheep get diseased. I'll just go ahead and give a little precursor to some things. One of the diseases that sheep get, there's a certain fly, I don't know if it's a bot fly or whatever, but there's a certain fly, and I cannot remember which one it is. Again, it may be a bot fly, but this fly gets into the nasal passage, lays its eggs in the nasal passages of the sheep. The larvae then worm their way up to the brain, and it produces such irritation that sheep have been known to literally beat their heads against trees and things to get relief. They'll get so distracted they just run, and they'll run off cliffs and they'll hurt themselves because something's been deposited in the head and worked its way up, and it just gets to where it distracts them so bad they'll just about destroy themselves. You ever heard somebody say, I just want to beat my head against the wall? Sheep literally will beat their head, all right, because what's happened is something's got planted that's worked its way up, and it just drives them to distraction. You know what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to lay an egg, if you will, plant a thought in your head about something, and hoping that it takes, that it multiplies and gets itself set in there, and you want to do it'll drive you to distraction. So that's why people say, I just want to beat my head against a wall. Sheep do that. They'll just take off, just trying to find relief. That's one of the things that happens to sheep, all right? And the shepherd has to be aware of it. A lot of times they say that if he'll come and apply oil there, it can try, kind of sometimes have a calming effect, and that's what the Holy Ghost is a comforter. But these are some of the things. The disease, sheep get diseases, and they need strengthening. The diseased have you not what? Strengthened. The disease have you not strengthened? You know what? A lot of times, a part of helping a sheep get better or a person get better is helping them get strong, so that helping them get strong so that their body can heal itself. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, that they may recover themselves. That they may recover themselves out of the snare. You see, brother, look here. And I'll tell you this, in any dealings you have, Brother Brad, there, you're going to get frustrated sometimes because of some of the problems those boys will have, and you can't. But our task is to also, in shepherding, is to strengthen anybody that you're helping, and definitely in shepherding, strengthen, and provide a helpful condition that that body can heal itself. And the connection we're going to make here is there in Timothy so that they may recover themselves. Do you see that? The disease, have you not what? Healed? Well, sometimes you couldn't heal, but strengthen them so healing can take place. The body can heal itself. So that, look, those that oppose themselves can recover themselves. You see? That's why strengthening is needed. Brethren, if you've got any sense at all in your head, you'll pray for your pastor. And I know you do. I know you do. And I thank you for it. But I'm telling you, whatever your pastor is, if you've got any sense, you'll pray for him. Pray for him that he would take and know how to take and do to help you be strong and to strengthen so that you can at times heals, the body can heal itself. You know what I'm saying? I recover yourself and take and get the strength that you need. The disease, he said, but you know what they said? The disease, if you're not strengthened. Some sheep get sick. Neither have ye healed that which was sick. Sometimes there is healing that's needed. Sometimes you got to strengthen them. There's just all you can do. Sometimes there's healing. There's healing medicines from the scripture that can be given, and healing can take place. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Well, folks get broken. And you know what? Some things need to be bound up. It needs to be bound up. And you know what? Sometimes when they're bound up, you ever seen a picture of a shepherd carrying a sheep or something like that? And look here. One thing you need to always understand, listen to this. Always listen to this. If there's a sheep that's going through something, then the shepherd's going to have to devote more time to that one. And the rest of the flock understands. But it all comes around. It all comes around. You know, it all evens out in the long run, such as that. But there's got to be an understanding about that. And it says, neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Sometimes sheep get driven away. Other sheep will drive them away. Then be brought back in. What's sad, brethren, is when they're driven away. If the shepherd's driving them away, brethren, for a wrong reason. If it's caused a Holy Ghost conviction, that's fine. But if the shepherd's driving away for a wrong reason, that's a different story. Neither have ye sought that which was lost. Well, you got the lost. Yeah, so you got the lost, right? But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. I don't know what's happened. I don't know what's happened. I don't know how you can read that book and see what shepherding and pastoring's about and yet have what goes on, has often gone on in independent Baptist churches from pulpits and the way things are done as if force and cruelty and are looked at as a good thing. I do not understand it. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. Sheep get diseased. Sheep get ill. Sheep get, and they need help. All right? Look here. And thanks be to God. Our good shepherd knows all that for sure. Go to Zechariah 11. Zechariah 11, verse 15. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. Okay, so if you'll take the instruments of a foolish shepherd and turn them around, you'll get the instruments of a wise shepherd. So what are the instruments of a foolish shepherd? For verse 16, for lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit those that be cut off. All right, like again, not those that be driven away, such as that. Neither shall seek the young one, that's the lambs. The lambs. He will take time for the lambs. He won't care about the lambs. Nor heal that that is broken. Look, nor feed that standeth still. Guess what that is? That is pulpit time. That's listening to the preaching. Because look, feed that standeth still. That's when the food is in the feeding trough. That's when it's laid out. They're standing still and you feed them. Brethren, you know what? When we assemble tonight on Sunday, we're not milling around. We're not milling around. We're standing or sitting still. It's kind of interesting, you know what? Sometimes in the Bible you see the Lord, the crowd would stand and he would sit. That's interesting. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that. But what I'm saying is you're still. Whether standing or sitting, you're still to get fed. That's only one aspect. Look at all the other things listed in Ezekiel. Look at all the other things in Zechariah. But you know what? This is looked at today as the be all and end all. So that what's happened is men learn how to take an outline. They learn how to take an alliterate. They learn all these preaching things. That's only one small aspect, and yet the whole kind of thing about pastoring is left behind, and we're paying a price for it. Because, see, this gets attention. This gets seen. This gets, come on, y'all. More to it than that. Go to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, more of the duties of the shepherd. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And you can imagine David saying, oh, well, you've seen better days, bud. You know, oh, well, Scruffy the lamb. You go make some lamb chops for that lion or that bear, bud. I hate it, but no, sir. And I went out after him. Look at that. I went out after him. Why, David? Because that's my daddy's sheep. And it's my responsibility. Wow. That was his father's sheep. Any under-shepherd, any pastor, he's looking after God's flock. That's God's sheep. And everyone, listen, and the lambs are just as important as the grown ones, huh? Look here. And said, and because it took a lamb. And you know what? Who are they going after? The lambs. Who's the enemy going after? Who's that lion? Who's that bear going after? The lambs. He's going after the lambs. And it says, I went after him and smote him. I'll be. Now that David didn't have something to him. Can you imagine going after a bear or a lion and smiting him? David whacked him. You say, well, he was probably using that sling. Oh, no, no, no. I don't know. Maybe he chucked a rock over there a time or two, but no, it was more than that. Look at this. And look, and delivered it out of his mouth. That means he got up close to that thing, bud, and got up his mouth. And when he arose against me, I mean, because look, that lion, that bear didn't like it that David took lunch from him. He didn't like it. And he rose against him. Let me tell you something. When you try to take and go after, especially the lambs that the devil, that roaring lion, is trying to take, when you go out after them, he ain't going to like it, and he's going to rear up against you. It's coming. He's going to rear up against you. Well, what did David do? I caught him by his beard. I'm telling you, brother. Do you know, I've looked at it, like, how did he do it? I'm serious. Just the mechanics of the thing. I caught him by his beard and smote. That ain't slinging a stone. I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. I don't know how he done it. That's a lion and a bear. And David went to him and smote him, so he whacked him. I imagine he did it. Maybe did it with his rod, I'd imagine. If he hit him with a rock, he still got to get up there and get that thing out of his mouth. All right? David got it out of his mouth. And when he got it out of his mouth, it reared up against him. David grabbed him by his beard. Have you ever heard the phrase, beard the lion in his own den? To beard the lion in his own den means you do it in his own territory. To beard the lion means that you boldly confront something. You'll run from it. That's called bearding the lion. David caught him by his beard, lion and a bear. And smote him. If y'all figure something out on that, let me know. I'm always ready to learn something. The only thing I can figure, I've wondered about, and I don't know. I wonder if, I mean, what do you do, man, when you catch a lion by its beard and a bear, all right? I mean, a lion, that's got a pretty good sized mane there. That bear has some short hairs, man. Anyway, he grabbed him, man. I've wondered, did David take his rod and shove it down that thing's throat? I mean, I don't know. I've heard of stuff like that happening. I have. I've heard of stuff like that happening where things have been shoved down a beast like that's throat. And I don't know. But I've wondered, I thought, what did he do, man? Did he grab its tongue? I'm being funny. I'm serious. I knew a boy told me one time, he said, look, I've done thought this thing out. He goes, if a dog ever, a pit bull, something like that ever gets after me, he says, I done figured it out. I've dealt with dogs. I know what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to give it my arm and shove it down its throat and grab its tongue. I was like, well, I guess. I don't, you know, that theory, I guess, all right, but I don't know if I'd want to. I know another fella, he said that he said what he had learned to use against dogs. He was a jogger, and said, here's what he did used against dogs. He borrowed one of his brother's drumsticks. I'm talking about, you know, boom, those kind. He borrowed one of his brother's drumsticks and said if a dog got after him, he'd take that drumstick and shove it in that thing's mouth. You pop its jaw and break it. See, boom. So it gives you the leverage. You can break its jaw like that, or break its neck if you can. Or you can take it backwards and break its neck. What? You let a dog chew on you? Break that thing's neck. break that thing's jaw before it puts you in the hospital. What are you talking about? Huh? But what I'm saying is maybe that was what David did. Maybe he shoved that rod down its throat. Maybe he inserted it in and snapped its jaw. I don't know. There had to be, anyway, he had that thing down because, and I know the Lord was helping him, of course. But still, he had to do something. And he grabbed it by its beard. I mean, ain't that something, son? Can you imagine what that bear must have been, that lion must have been thinking? What in the world? Anybody ever done that before? What is he doing? And David done whacked him once, took the lamb out, reared up. David grabbed him by the beard, and he killed him. And look what God did. Lion, bear, big boy next. Hey, you know, the Bible says, back in the Bible says in Revelation 13, the beast which I saw was like a leopard. It mentions also what? Feet of a bear, mouth of a lion. See, Goliath's type of the Antichrist. Yeah, that's just some interesting stuff there. But anyway, that's what a shepherd does. He didn't look and say, whoo, again, bad day, Scruffy the Lamb. You are, boy, tough thighs. See you. He goes, that's my daddy's. That's my daddy's lamb. That belongs to my daddy. This is my job. Isn't that something? And God helped him and worked on his behalf. Take your Bible. Go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Man, our great shepherd has stood up for us against the enemy. Amen. And still does. Why? If the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't look after you, the devil would make mincemeat out of you and me. He'd chew you up, spit you out. Our great shepherd stands on our behalf. Isaiah 40, look at verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall carry the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are young. Thank God for those times the Lord has carried you. A lot of times you may not realize it, but he was carrying you. Because you know what? You're still going. Still going. Still moving forward. He was carrying you. Look at that closeness. That closeness at times. Put the lambs in his arm. Carry them in his bosom. Can I say something to you? Daddies, I guess you even got to say it to mamas the way things are today. Learn to hug your children. Hug your children. Well, I'm not comfortable with that. Get comfortable. You need it. And if you don't get it from you, they're going to get it from somewhere. Well, I'm not comfortable with it. Ask God to help you be comfortable with it. Get comfortable with it. Daddies, give them young'uns hugs. Mama, I don't know, we're so crazy today. There's probably some mamas out there. It's hard to imagine a mama not being tender like that. But who knows? We're probably today, their mamas are possibly like that. They just aren't good at being tender. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you. And look, I mean, and give them that. They need it. Look at this. You know what? And he shall gently lead those that are with young. He had a tenderness. He didn't overdrive them. He understood that thing. You got to kind of be easy there. That's what Jacob was a good shepherd. You know what he told Esau? I got to lead along Saul. Esau, you know, I got my flocks. I got my little youngins here, my babies, and my wives here. Esau, I got to lead on gently. If we overdrive them, some of them will die. I can't overdrive them. Listen, don't overdrive your family. Don't overdrive your family. Shoot, pause a minute there. Take your Bible, go to Genesis. Let's find that thing. Go to Genesis. Oh, we'll go to Genesis 32, I believe. Or Genesis 33. Yeah. Look at Genesis 33, verse 12. And he said, let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. And he said unto him, look what Jacob said to Esau. My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly. according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord and to see her. Listen, you can overdrive somebody. You can overdrive a flock. A pastor can take, if not careful, and so overdrive the people with his agenda that they're wore out and they don't get what they need. A man can overdrive his family in what looks like service when sometimes it's just simply for his own glorification and it's too much. You understand that? You lead on gently as they're able to handle it. All right? Not overdriving. Notice that word gently again. That's why the Bible says the gentleness of Christ. I'm telling you, brethren, I'm telling you, too often, yeah, buddy, we've produced some toughies. Yeah. From our pulpits and our church, we produced some toughies, man. Yeah. And got no heart. And can't be a help to nobody. But they're tough, son. I understand there's a need for a toughness in the right kind of way. I understand that. But a toughness that enables you just to keep going. You understand me? What we've produced today is a lack of compassion and heart. And it happens all around us.
Yes, sir.
Look at your book. That Bible speaks of gently leading. The Bible speaks of the gentleness of Christ. The Bible speaks of compassion. The Bible speaks here to gently lead them on. Not, you can overdrive them to where, look here. They're just, you know what? They'll get that 2,000-yard stare, man. They're going through the motions. How many times have I seen it? I've seen it in youth groups. I've seen it with kids. I've seen it in kids in churches. They're just going along, man, trying to survive. They got a 2,000-yard stare. Lights on, ain't nobody home, bud.
Yes, sir.
Instead of taking the time to build up something close and real and right.
Amen.
Take your Bible, go to Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20. Verse 37. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. The Lord Jesus, when he comes back, he's going to cause Israel to pass under his rod. And that's when, and under that rod, it's times when you separate out. You separate out the diseased, or maybe even the sheep from the goats. And passing under the rod is you tally them, you make count, you look, you inspect them. Okay? Take your Bible, go to John 10. John 10. John 10. Verse 1. John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. See, he goeth before them. He's not sending them out somewhere he ain't gone before. And he's in front of them making the way. And his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee for him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, thank the Lord, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. All right. These are different duties of the shepherd. Again, sheep must have a shepherd. I mentioned before, they cannot find water on their own very often. They cannot find their way. They have no defense. They easily give up and become prey. David says here in Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Do you realize what he's saying when he says that? It is a righteous, boast. It's not a wrong boast. See, there's a wrong boast and there's a right boast. This is a righteous boast. What he's saying is, the Lord is my shepherd. I met a man one time talking about sheep and shepherds, and he said, if you come, he said in his life coming up around sheep and flocks and shepherds, he said you would see one flock, right? And the man didn't take his time, and the sheep looked bad. They were ragged looking. They were in poor health. And over here's another. The fields were good. He had took care of the fields. He fed them good. Good pastures. They were good. They were in good condition, right? And it's almost like you could see one of them sheep going, Mr. So and So, that's my shepherd. That's my shepherd. Because they benefited from it. They knew, right? Not Mr. So-and-so over there. I'm glad I ain't one of them sheep. I mean, look, the Lord is my shepherd. Before we got saved, we was in the wrong flock. We belonged to the wrong. But David's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, he is bragging on who his shepherd is. And that's okay to brag on the Lord. That's okay. That's a good thing to do. Listen. He's saying this in a manner of a confident boast, a boast that is right, a boast that his shepherd is the true and living God, not like the false gods of the nations. Baal ain't my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's saying it boastfully and confidence. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. There's a right boasting. Now you boast about you, that's not right. But you boast about the Lord, you're in solid ground. Go to Psalm 44. Psalm 44. Psalm 44, verse 8. In God we boast all the day long. And praise thy name forever, Selah. Boast in the Lord. Oh, everybody boast about everybody today. Oh, this athlete, this musician, this. Boast in the Lord. He's the one you can boast about in truth. Oh, it says here, in God we boast all the day long. And the believer, this is a boast the born-again believer can make. Go again to John 10. Go again to John 10. John 10. John 10, look here at verse number 11. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's why you can boast in the Lord. The Lord's my shepherd because he gave his life for you and you've received him. Go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, look at verse 20. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. David said, the Lord's my shepherd. You know what I can say, and I hope you can say too, Lord's my shepherd too. Lord's my shepherd too. Go to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2 verse 25. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Lord is my shepherd. Listen, if you glory and boast, make sure it is in the Lord. Make sure it's in the Lord. I got to go here real quickly. Go to 1 Corinthians 1. Be careful of who and what you boast in. 1 Corinthians 1. Do you know something? If Paul the Apostle was back here and was leading a Bible study, he would not have you going, well, I'm on a Paul, you know. He got on to folks saying, I'm a Paul, I'm a Cephas, I'm of Apollos. You glory in the Lord. Look here, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. No, sir. We don't glory in it. There's no flesh can glory in his presence, and we shouldn't glory in any flesh. Glory in the Lord. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
You want to glory? And you do need to glory. Glory in the Lord. Glory in him. Glory in the Lord. But now the question begs to be asked tonight. Are you one of his sheep? John 10 verse 27 says, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you one of his sheep? Notice that the sheep know his voice. The sheep know his voice. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. But who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Do you know his voice? Do you know the voice that spoke to you about your need of being saved? Do you know that voice that gave you assurance of salvation? That voice that speaks to you through the Word of God? Do you know his voice? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And he knows them. He said that he knows them. Go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Verse number 23. Matthew 7 verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. See, he didn't say, I used to know you. No, he said, I never knew you. I never knew you. We sung tonight, no, never alone. Once he knows you, he knows you. You know him, he knows you. But that crowd there, he said, I never knew. Oh, they were religious. Lord, you've been in our presence. You've done this, and we've done this, and we've done that. Lord said, I never knew you. That was all you. You did it. That was a result of your self-effort. I never knew you. That's a fearful, awesome thing. Go to 2 Timothy 2. The Lord knows his own, and they know him, and they know his voice. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. They follow him. Jesus said his sheep follow him. Go to Romans 8. I heard about one time in World War II, there was some Germans, I believe it was, who came and stole a man's sheep because, you know, they needed food. And so the shepherd's looking, and there goes his sheep over the hill, right? And he realized, wait a minute. Them's my sheep. He called out. Don't you know, one of them sheep turned around, came right on back. They know the voice of the shepherd. They know the voice of the shepherd. Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God's Spirit working at your life, guiding you, directing you through the Word of God. As many as are led by the Spirit. Oh, man, I always follow like we ought. Shame on us. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He's their shepherd. Sheep, you know what sheep do? We've looked at this before. Sheep ruminate and have a separated walk. They're a clean animal. They ruminate. Before you were saved, you couldn't chew on Scripture. No. All you could do is you heard it, but didn't do nothing for you. You got saved, you can chew on it now. You can ruminate. Glory to God. What a blessing to be one of God's sheep. And they have a mark of a separated walk, that split hoof, separated walk. That should be in the life of a believer. It's getting less and less today. A lot of people professing, I don't know. I tell you what, brethren, this stuff, this computer stuff, and these different places and these things, it's almost like that the whole thing is let me take a picture of me and post in some kind of arrogant, prideful pose or something so that that's, you tell me how that fits in with the principles of New Testament Christianity. It doesn't. Something's wrong. Something's dreadfully wrong. And it seems like those, so many brought up in church are the worst ones at it.
Yes, sir.
They're the worst ones. It's like they're feeling like, I missed out. There's something I got to make up for. I missed out. I was held back. Held back from parents who loved you and didn't want the world putting its claws in you and destroying you. But anyway, sheep ruminate. They have a separated walk. Just about done, but I want to ask you tonight, what creature are you? The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. New creature. Are you a sheep? Are you a dog? Are you a hog? Now, I told you some of the things that mark a sheep. It can ruminate. Look, can you ruminate? Can you hear Bible preached, Bible taught, read your Bible, and can you get it and ruminate on it? And then God give you more? And can you ruminate? Can you digest it? Can you do that? Got that mark of separation. God working your life to sanctify you, make you separate from this world. Can you see evidence of that? Are you a dog or a hog? Go to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. What does a dog do? Well, 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did you know some people hear about truth? God don't ever get their heart. But some modern day soul winner gets them and gets their lips and gets them to pronounce something. And then they start getting involved in church things. And they look different. They look different for a while. They are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. We're not talking about somebody struggling with the flesh. We're talking about somebody that through self-will, not a product of the Spirit of God, but by self-will made some changes, did some things, escaped the pollutions of the world. They heard the truth. They know about it. And on their own, they've turned from some things. They've cleaned up outwardly. But they can't keep it up. They can't. Verse 22, it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. In other words, they vomited some things out. They got rid of some stuff. But you know what? They're going back to what they do it again. The sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. See, she's still a dog and she's still a hog. Clean her up on the outside. Got around some religious things. Give enough time, they will go back to what they were. And the thing about it is, the dangerous thing of it is, so often they think they're okay. They think they're okay. You say, I'm a preacher. I ain't a dog, ain't a hog. Look, I'm still in church. I'm not going back to vomit. I'm not going back to the world. Okay, good. But are you a sheep or a goat? And that's the rough one right there. That's the rough one. Goats love to climb. Goats love to climb. Goats love to climb. They are looking always to get a higher position. You'll find that in church. You'll find those. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for position. They're looking for a pulpit. They're looking for something. They're looking always to get. They're always climbing. They're always climbing. They're always climbing. Goats like to get up and be seen and look. They get up high. Sheep stay down low. Jesus separates the sheep from the goats, right? And where do them goats go? Lake of fire, bud. I'm serious now. But boy, they're a clean animal. They're clean. A sheep ain't like a dog. A goat ain't like a dog and a hog. It's a clean animal. But it ain't sheep. They like to get up. Where a sheep gets down, goats try to get up. They are known to be stubborn, mischievous, and bossy. They will bully sheep. They are said to live by the rule, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Goats' tails tend to stand erect while the sheep's tend to hang down. Goats are said to be curious and independent, while sheep tend to be a little more skittish. Sheep have a stronger flocking instinct. You know what? There's a Again, dog and a hog, they'll go back to what they were. But a goat, it's a clean animal. Those other two are unclean. Goat's clean. It's clean, but it ain't sheep. And one of the outstanding things is that independence, that having to get up high, stubborn. Got to do it their way. Got to be their way. Where sheep will follow, where sheep will be submissive, that goat, it's got a mind of its own, bud. And it likes to get up, and it likes to take your Bible. I'm closing up. Go to Jude 1. Jude 1. I noticed a verse in Proverbs. I don't have it down here one time, but I realized years ago, the Lord wants a goat to be a sheep. He wants to make a new creature out of it. But if a goat won't, God will use the goat. If you look in Proverbs, goats are people in churches that will not see what they are and become a new creature. But a lot of times, God will use them for purposes. I'm serious. God will use them. And the problem of it is, though, sometimes leadership in churches set it up for goats. See, goats provide things. And there'll be people in churches that God will use them a lot of times for the physical things of ministry. He wants them to become a sheep. But if they won't, he'll make use of them for a while. That's not what the Lord wants. But a lot of times, brethren, you know what? But when churches pander up to somebody that's got a nice bank account, somebody's a good giver, and what that does, that makes that person feel like they're spiritual. Because pastors, you know, pastor thinks they're great, right? Because they bankroll stuff. No, sir. Oh, that's horrible. It's horrible to have that kind of outlook, and it's horrible what that does for somebody where they get to think they're okay because they've got bucks and they give. So what? And God may use an individual like that. He wants them to be a sheep, but they're going to be a goat. He may use something for a while and then be done with it. Now, I'm serious, brethren. Look here, it's serious stuff. Dogs, hogs, goats, and sheep. The Lord separates them sheep from them goats. And look, again, a sheep, he's not as stubborn. Not stubborn. He follows. He just does. That's sometimes what gets him in trouble, kind of. All right, but that's why they need a shepherd. But they follow. And they have a flocking instinct. They like to... Sheep like to be around other sheep. They like to flock. That goat, it's clean, but he don't like being around other sheep. I mean, he don't have that same flocking instinct. Brethren, look here. One of God's sheep ought to like to be around other sheep. Now, brethren, you know, I don't browbeat you into coming to church. I mentioned the importance of it because of what the Bible says. But God's sheep should have a flocking instinct where you want to be around. But I love getting around the sheep. I love coming to church, this local, and being around the saints and being around. Just, you know, sheep have that flocking instinct. A goat don't. Oh, it's clean, but it ain't sheep. It's not a sheep. And you know what? These are just characteristics, right? These are characteristics. Well, book of Jude, verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beast, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. You know something I've noticed? You get a somebody that's born again and really wants to live for God. They don't feel like they're hardly ever right with God. You know what I'm saying? They're always like, you know, you're always on yourself because you know what you are, right? But I tell you this, you get somebody that plays a religious game, it can be obvious that there is blatant sin. And buddy, They're just as confident about where they are. They ain't got no problem. They don't ever go through any kind of, listen, they don't ever go any kind of doubt. They don't ever go through any kind of thing like that. Man, you get somebody that's trying to depend upon the Lord rather than somebody that's spiritually self-willed. Man, they're all the time checking and looking at themselves and not feeling like they're worthy. But you get a spiritually self-willed person. Don't have that. And you know what? They feed themselves about fear. It's funny. You know what? You always see the saints of God trying to live for God, always trying to get things right? Because they know they're not. And you'll see folks who are not right, but they're fine and dandy. Fine and dandy. Feeding themselves without fear. Clouds that are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them, of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles, our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who, look at this, separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And they're not saved, they're not born again. But notice they separate themselves. Sheep have a flocking instinct. They like to be around sheep. Goats, they're clean, but they're not sheep. Got a curiosity. Like to get up on high. Tend to be a little stubborn. A little sheep follow. Sheep yield. Sheep are submissive. Look here. David said, The Lord is my shepherd. Lord's my shepherd. He was one of God's sheep. If you're saved, you want a God's sheep, and the Lord's your shepherd. The stuff I mentioned to you earlier tonight, thank God we've got a perfect good shepherd. Now, under shepherds that we have need prayer for sure. And I beg, I covet, I beg your prayers that I do God's flock right. But then listen, make sure you are one of God's flock. Hog, dog. But them goats, they're clean. They're close. They're all similarities. In fact, sometimes it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell some goats from some sheep. Really is sometimes. But the Lord knows. And Matthew 25 separates goats from sheep. Listen. The Bible says examine yourselves. Know what you are. Are you a ruminant? Can you chew that cud? Can you receive spiritual things? Can you? But then also, look, do you like to be around the sheep? Or do you like to separate yourself, so to speak? You don't have that flocking instinct. Like just be to yourself. And be careful about the thing. Be careful about that. That's, you know, sheep and goats are different. That getting up high. That, you know, they don't like being low. They like to get up high. They can be seen, get noticed. Man, watch that stuff. Sheep are closer. I mean, goats are closer to being what sheep are than dogs or hogs. But they're still not sheep. Make sure you're one of God's sheep. And if you're one of his sheep, rejoice and boast in the fact that you've got the greatest shepherd that there is. That the Lord is your shepherd, just like David said. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Father, help us, instruct us, guide us, give us understanding. Father, I pray that you'll, Lord, direct us and guide us. David, Father, said that you were his shepherd. That means he's one of your sheep. He was one of your sheep. And Lord, we know that if we've been made new creatures, we're one of your sheep. Father, I pray that everyone here at this assembly tonight and everyone that listened on tape would give pause and consider and examine to make sure, Lord, that they are one of your sheep. Not a dog, not a hog, not a goat. One of your sheep. And Father, if anyone would realize that they're not, you know, Father, you're the God of all miracles, and Lord, you can make new creatures out of us. And Father, if we are one of your sheep, help us to be obedient sheep, help us to be thankful sheep, and help us, Lord, to rejoice and glory in the great and wonderful good shepherd that we have in thee. And Father, we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.